This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Get your motor
running. Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, that is true. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson. Very excited to have your company today. And of course, a gigantic thank you to the wonderful Luke and the gang for Critical Hit. They're going to be back with more gaming fun times next week, so you should be back at the same time as well. We've got a huge show coming up. We've got Mike and Dan with us, and we are going to be talking about lots of stuff. We're going to be talking about Chinese cars. We're going to get into a new Mercedes-Benz GLC if you want a new SUV. We're going to hear all about that. And of course, all of the news from the week. And there's been a lot of it. My name is Tim Nicholson, as mentioned earlier, and I'm here in the studio for an hour of, there's a light on my microphone. That's a bit exciting. An hour of motoring goodness with none other than Mike Costello. Hello.
That was an amazing introduction, even by your standards.
I thought I'd be doing a bit of number, Batman kind of things.
So, how are you, man?
I'm not well, but I am here.
Just getting over the cold.
Getting over the cold, yes, which has not been fun. So I might sound a little bit croaky, and I do apologise for that. And if I cough up something on air, you'll just have
nothing
to,
husky is good.
Well, so do I. I like a husky lady voice. Huh? Yeah, even though I'm hugely gay, I do like a husky lady voice.
Not just gay, but hugely gay.
Hugely.
Like it's good insanely. To make the distinction.
You can see it from space. But I'm all right now. I'm feeling much, much better. How are you, though, please?
I am okay. Yeah. I'm okay. It's been a big week. I had a sleep in this morning, though, and I'm feeling great. Nice.
Now, look, we are normally joined in the studio by a third person, and that is the lovely Dan Gardner, who is stuck in Melbourne traffic.
It's quite ironic, really, isn't it? I'm just looking at an empty chair, swiveling. Yep. I don't know why I'm swiveling. Is there a breeze in here?
No, it's Dan's chair. It's always going to swivel. But Dan will be joining us momentarily, but he is en route, you could say. I think he's stuck in...
I hope he's listening to us on the car radio.
I suggest that he would be.
Hi, Dan.
I believe Punt Road was the badness.
It was being Punt Road.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Oh, it was, last night. And it's just that thing, anytime football is on, just don't even go near it.
Bring on autonomous cars, I say. Yeah. Because when you're stuck in traffic, you just put your feet up. Car drives itself. This no congestion. Yep. You're sorted.
It's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. But we will press on without him. We can and we will, but he will join us very shortly, I am sure. It's been a big week. Lots of news to get through, Mike. Obviously, the biggest news of the week, and we're not going to go too deep into this because the lovely people of TechnoGaze are going to talk about this a little bit later on as well, and that is the Jeep hacking scandal.
Oh, it sounds like dramatic. A beat-up if ever there was one. look, it took a long time for the people that were doing this. It was for Wired magazine, was it not?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it took a long time for them to achieve this. Yeah. And look, it was really interesting because it does raise the point that car makers are no longer just car brands. They're also tech brands. And because the tech world changes and updates itself so quickly, car makers are really sort of fighting to adapt to that and coming up with infotainment systems and car systems that, match that rate of change. And so, of course, a car was hacked. It's kind of unlucky for Jeep that Wired chose one of Jeep's cars with the internet connectivity, because I'm sure that there are a lot of internet-connected cars that might have a similar issue. I don't know enough about it, but I would assume so. But yes, the car was hacked, and I think the most egregious thing is they found a way to pump Kanye West super loud on the car stereo, which is a crime. It's a real crime.
Kanye?
Well, no, I don't mind Kanye. No.
A little bit of Kanye is all right. But look, it's kind of designed to terrify people, isn't it? Because everyone, as you say, with these kind of cars that are so connected now, it does make you think, oh, God, is that going to happen to me? And regardless of the technology that they bring out and to try and beat the hackers, that's what hackers do. They beat stuff that can't be beaten.
There is one way around this, and you just mandate having manual hydraulic park brakes rather than fancy electric park brakes. Oh, okay. If you have a hydraulic thing that connects a stopping mechanism to the wheels, you can just... override anything. Oh. It's like there's got to be some kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm buying into the fear too much, but it seems there's got to be some kind of off switch there, some kind of opt-out system where you can just basically shut all that down. Because the benefits of connected cars are huge. Yeah. Cars can talk to each other. Autonomous cars are going to be based purely off this kind of stuff. Hmm. All the advances we've had in infotainment and active safety prevention, all these things are fantastic. But there needs to be a sufficient override. Yeah. And maybe this shows that there's more to be done. I think it was a bit sensationalist. I think we shouldn't be running around like headless chickens stressing that we're all going to crash and burn tomorrow. But I think it does raise a couple of interesting questions.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So calm down, everyone, basically, is what we're saying. And also, if you've got a Jeep of that model in Australia, you're okay because...
our cars don't get the internet connectivity.
Exactly right.
Because we're Australia. And you don't get stuff. Hooray!
Exactly. It takes a while, doesn't it? Some other exciting news, though, this week was earlier in the week, I think Tesla announced a bit of an upgrade for the Model S. I think it's the only thing they sell at the moment, isn't it?
At the moment.
Yeah.
But the Model X is coming.
That's
very
right.
Soon.
Yeah.
Very
soon. And so they've made a few changes to the Model S, and they've introduced a... ludicrous mode, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Ridiculous mode. Ludicrous.
Well, the ludicrous mode. Yeah. The best thing about the Tesla, and I actually had this happen to me when I was very kindly lent a Tesla, by Tesla, funnily enough, was that those cars have updates that go out over the air. So, in other words, you get a message on your giant tablet screen in the car and it says, would you like to do these updates? And you click yes and it downloads them and you get nifty features like blind spot monitoring or adaptive cruise, or all the hardware's built in and all the software gets put out over the air when it's ready. This is completely revolutionary. This is a massive step change for car technology, and the latest example of that is this ludicrous mode, and it takes the giant, you know, luxury sedan Model S, which is a big car, from 0 to 100
massive.
In 2.8 seconds. This is a fully electric car that does the 0 to 100 sprint in the same time as a Bugatti Veyron, which reigned forever as the world's fastest car. That is ludicrous. The ludicrous mode
literally
is pretty appropriate. That is unbelievable that they've been able to do that.
It's quite crazy, but I'm also... I've seen... they've had footage on the internet of somebody scaring the hell out of a passenger by sitting them in the new Model S. I don't know if you saw this. You can go on Google and find it. And, you know, you get in this nice, big, luxury car, and then the driver floors it and scares the absolute pooper
out of everyone.
It's quite
eerie doing that, because it's a silent car. It's completely silent, and you don't hear anything. You don't get that oral sensation of gear changes happening, of revs being built, which kind of acclimatise you to pace. It's just this really eerie, silent... just drone. It's just creepy. And it is... there's a great video. Someone stuck an iPhone, just held it against a car seat, accelerated, and the G-Force has stuck the phone to the seat.
Like,
that's how fast this car is.
It's pretty bonkers.
It's insane.
Mike, do you think that electric cars should sound like the Jetsons?
Absolutely. And I know what you're doing here, and I'm not your puppet, Tim.
Yes, you are. Go on. Just once. Yes. Oh, it makes me happy.
Putting me on the spot.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, moving along from electric cars. Now, I don't know if you're a Bond fan.
Yeah, I like Bond.
Yeah, you don't sound too convinced.
No, I think it's all right. I think the last one, Skyfall, I rewatched it on a plane recently, and I still think it's a bit crap. But
really?
Yeah, it's all right.
Made me cry. Well, the big trailer for that's come out, and the star of it is not Daniel Craig or his package. It is the Aston Martin DB10. It's a really obvious product placement thing. Like, it takes up a good 30 seconds of that bloody
trailer.
That's
how Hollywood pays for movies now, isn't it?
Well, it is, isn't it?
You've got to do it.
But even we don't know if this is going to be a production car.
No, I think it's been made just for the film, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
The funny thing about Aston Martin is... you know, it's a company that is... there's a few big changes coming along. There was actually a spy shot of the next Aston Martin supercar captured recently with a full Mercedes S-Class interior.
Oh.
And we know the Mercedes owns a small percentage in Aston Martin. We know that AMG is providing engines for Aston Martin. I actually asked a board member of Daimler, when I was lucky enough to talk to a Daimler board member last week, who you don't get to speak to those people every day, and said, would you consider buying more in Aston Martin? He almost laughed and said, no way. But then you see that the Aston Martin are now getting S-Class interiors. It's a bit strange. I don't really know what to make of that.
That is a bit
interesting.
So that
interests me. But, I mean, you can see from this trailer that one area Aston Martin always excels, with or without any other company involved, is style, because the thing looks amazing.
It looks incredible. I don't think if it does go into production, it will have a flamethrower.
I don't know. Could be an option.
That would be handy. That would be handy
option.
For Dan on Punt Road now.
They had those in South Africa for a while, didn't they?
Did they?
They were carjacking preventative things. You had a button and you had a flamethrower under the car.
Oh, my God.
And if you were getting carjacked, you could hit a button and it would...
That is horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness we live in Australia. moving right along now, some other just very brief news this week. Now, we've talked about Borgward before. I think it's a German brand that died 40, 50 years ago?
Long time ago.
Well, they're resurrecting that, and they've teased their SUV, which I think is going to be shown at the Frankfurt Motor Show in a couple of months.
Well, last year's Paris Motor Show, or was it Geneva this year? I can't recall which, but they came back. I actually visited their stand.
Did you?
Because it's so Borgward was a very famous German brand, up there with BMW in its day, and then it kind of died, which is what happens. A Chinese group partially has come back and invested in it and wants to bring it back, and you can see why, because old famous names have a lot of currency. True. I don't know if Borgward is one of the more famous names.
It doesn't sound very glamorous, does
maybe
it?
Maybe bring back Saab before you bring back Borgward. But anyway, it's what they're doing, and they said they're going to have this huge array of models. There's going to be electrification. It's going to be high-end, all this stuff. But the stand only had some classic Borgwards and nothing else. Okay. And it's a bit like MG, how MG was revitalized by a Chinese conglomerate and kind of hasn't leveraged its name the way it should have. It'll be interesting to see what the company conjures. I'm looking forward to it. The fact that it's an SUV makes economic sense, but whether it kind of... The thing that Borgward was most famous for were these gorgeous sort of coupe, almost looked like the Volkswagen Karmann Ghia. They had that beautiful, you know, rounded coupe styling. And whether starting with an SUV is true to your brand, I don't really know. But
it's very now, and I think that's probably the smartest thing that they could do. But do we know, are they going to build these things in China, or are they going to be...
I think they're going to have two. I think from memory, if memory serves, there was going to be a plant in China and one in Germany as well.
Well, that would make sense. But then again, you look at the Chinese economy and everything's slowing down a bit there, and even the automotive industry's kind of peaked a little bit. It's where can you go? How many more European brands can you fit in that country?
Well, how the hell are you going to come out as a premium brand and take on Mercedes-Benz or BMW or Audi or
despite
any of
your history, like I don't know about you, but I'd never heard of them before.
It's not a very evocative name, Borgward.
No.
You know, it kind of sounds pretty naff, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know.
It does a little bit. And I think you're right. I think, you know, resurrecting something like Saab, I can see, because it's still in our kind of memories. It's quite recent, but yeah. I'm quite fascinated, though. Any new brand, I think, is really exciting and interesting. And for us as nerds, kind of watching it happen, so...
We'll see.
We will definitely see. Other very exciting news, very briefly, potentially the new RS4 might come back as a sedan as well.
The Audi RS4. Yep. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? They've only really focused on having an Avant wagon for the longest time, which I think is one of the coolest cars you can get.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
But, of course, America and China don't like wagons, and they're the two biggest markets in the world. So if you're going to sell lots of cars, you're going to have a sedan, right? Makes total sense.
Do it, Audi. Just do it. Now, just finally on a bit of international news. So Shell and PayPal have launched an app where you'll still have to get out of your car to put petrol in your car, but you will not have to actually deal with an actual human being if you want to pay for fuel.
So how does it work?
So basically, you've got an app, you set up your app, you get to the petrol station, you press a button on your app, you say how much you want to put in your car, and then it goes, all right, yep, cool. It talks to the machine, but you still have to get out and put it in there. So you put the petrol in and then you get back in your car. It's like Uber. So it's
like Uber's money.
You connected to your credit card.
Right.
So you don't have to speak to people.
Huh.
Yeah. And personally, I think that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's a bit like the whole when you go to the automated checkouts, you kind of worry that it's going to hurt jobs, right? I don't know. Are there going to be people with work now that can work at petrol stations, or are petrol stations just going to be all robotized now?
Well, I'm happy with robotized. Maybe. I don't need to speak.
I suppose
to
if
people.
You want to buy a terrible coffee, you've got to deal with someone to pay them for that, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's very, very true. Anyway, so hopefully that will come down under at some point, because I will absolutely be using it. But we've got lots more coming up very, very soon. So make sure you stick around. This is Fender Bender. Now, Mike, this week we've seen a number of new cars released in Australia. But one that's probably the most polarising in some time. Or is it polarising, or is it just fugly?
It's not polarising if everybody thinks it's crap.
True.
Polarising implies that there's like 50-50 split.
It's not at all, is it?
It's the Infiniti QX80. It's based on the Nissan Patrol. Mm. Of course, the big, enormous petrol-only V8 SUV that sells in tiny, tiny numbers. Mm. Infiniti, being Nissan's luxury arm, has its own version of this car. It's more garish. It's more ostentatious. It has smaller headlights and a bigger grille, which makes it a bit like a beached whale.
Yeah.
It's this... Infiniti QX80. Look it up if you're curious. Infiniti with an I on the end. It is probably the worst looking new car I've seen in some time.
There's a particular whale that it looks like. And I can't think of it. I should have looked it up before
sperm
I came
whale, maybe?
Well, possibly.
But anyway, it's a giant V8 petrol SUV that chews a lot of fuel, has a lot of luxury, can go off-road if you want it to, costs... Yeah. About 120 grand on the road. What more do you need to know? I mean, it's one of these cars. Okay, so Infiniti has been in Australia for a few years now. Hasn't really done so well. Hasn't had the right product.
Yep.
It's got some new product coming that looks actually really cool. The Q30. The Q50 is okay.
Yeah.
But it knows that it needs to continue to launch new stuff just to keep people, you know, attuned to what the brand is doing. And so it's launching other stuff that it sells overseas. I don't think the company really expects to sell too many of these QX80s. There's not many people that will buy it. But hey, if you want a really ugly rival to the Range Rover,
yeah,
go nuts.
It's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
She's here, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Now,
it's nice of you to join us, Dan.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Hi, Dan. We did mention, I don't know if you, did you, were you listening to join us?
Of course I was listening.
Yeah, of course.
No one else plays Aqua.
That's true. Now, how are you? I
don't know what you're talking about. I've been here all the time. I just haven't anything to say.
You've just been under the table, haven't you? Breathing heavily.
My God.
I was a bit creeped out by it.
Of course I was listening.
So was
I. And you even got a message. You should have got a message from someone on Punt Road, but no one read it out.
Suddenly
you're listening. Yeah, right, okay. Suddenly Dan's important. Yeah, right. Now, I'm terribly sorry to everyone who was expecting my presence on the radio from 4 o'clock. I made the mistake of assuming that, you know, public transport will work. And then I made the mistake of assuming that roads would have some space on them.
I was wrong
on both counts. I'm sorry.
Punt Road.
You should have been in a QX80 because people would have seen it and been so terrified by how ugly it is. They would have parted ways.
Yes,
it would have been like
literally.
Moses parting the sea.
Yeah, yep. People pull over and hide their eyes until it's gone by and then they carry on. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely foul.
But don't say that, though, because then everyone's going to go out and buy one and then the road will be chock-a-block with just QX80s.
Oh, God.
Which is basically the worst thing that's ever
happened. It's not bad value, though, as far as chock-full of luxuries for that price. Like, the Lexus equivalent is actually a bit more expensive.
Yeah, it costs about $3,000 less than a Mercedes GL, which is an infinitely better car.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry. Infinity.
And you can get a diesel in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
Damn.
Anyway.
Well, it's nice to be here, even if I am...
Good
terrible.
To have you here,
well,
Dan.
Well, it's fashionable, isn't it, to be a little bit late?
Absolutely. Is
it? No, it's just really downright inconvenient.
In your defence, you made a hell of an entrance.
You did.
Well, yes.
Have we met him?
A lady's got to impress
That's true. Hey, so boys, just some other brief local news this week. There's been more talk of the Dodge brand coming back in full to Australia at some point in the next few years. Are we excited about that?
Well, I am. I am, for one, because it normally means that, you know, we're going to get more powerful, really big, rear-wheel drive cars. Well, that's my hope anyway. And, you know, obviously we're thinking Challenger and Charger are the two that are most exciting.
Well, Fiat Chrysler has to make sure all its different brands actually do different things. Mm. So it's said, right, from in the future, Dodge is only going to be about performance. That's what Dodge does, right? So it's going to be the V8 muscle car, rear-wheel drive, fast brand. Australians love that stuff more than just about any other market in the entire world, so it makes total sense. The problem is getting Fiat Chrysler to make Dodges in right-hand drive because at the moment they don't. Mm. And, you know, there's not many right-hand drive markets that give a damn about big, powerful V8s. So if we can get them to do that, it could be awesome.
Yeah.
Because like you say, Chargers, Challengers... Yeah, exciting.
And look, it sounds like the product this time around, well, I think the current generation is a lot better than when it first came. We had the Avenger mid-size sedan, which was an absolute dog.
And the Nitro, that weird-looking crossover.
I didn't mind the look of the Nitro, but there was the Calibre as well, which that was actually probably one of the first... tiny crossovers.
One of the things they don't get wrong ever is names. Those three names you just gave them, they're brilliant, aren't they? And Challenger and Charger, they all sound so good. At least the Challenger and Charger actually sound like, they go like as they sound.
What about the Dart?
I think that's quite cool.
It's just cute.
But that thing's been a massive flop, man.
Has it?
No one's buying that, even in America.
They had a really good ad campaign in America.
Mm.
The reason we really need Challenger in this country is, in a word, Mustang. You know, Ford are going to come out here. They've got already a huge amount of interest for their V8 rear-wheel drive, coupe, sports car, convertible. And no one can compete with it.
Well,
what else is there?
Holden can't get the Camaro because Chevrolet, of course, just launched the new Camaro, which is the natural rival for the Mustang. And General Motors, with appalling lack of foresight and utter stupidity, refuses to make it in right-hand drive because they're They just don't care about any other market that isn't America. And so that's not going to come here.
That
so
is just selfish.
It is. It's ridiculous. But Ford, Ford has jumped the gun completely. Mm. 45 grand for a Mustang. Who the hell is going to rival that? Yeah. So, yes, yeah. We do need the Dodge.
Yeah, absolutely. We are performance enthusiasts here. And thankfully, our fuel prices are still fairly reasonable. I know everyone's going to disagree with me on that, but look at other places in the world. Mm. And so we can't afford to run cars like that. So why wouldn't you bring it here?
Isn't Holden, haven't they said with their post 2017 when they shut down, haven't they said that they're going to have some kind of sports car?
They've committed to a V8 sports car.
But we don't know what that
is. General Motors for now says no right-hand drive Camaro. Holden doesn't get a say in that, really. I mean, this is a Holden's just a piece of the puzzle. Yeah. I'm sure they want it. It's not really up to them, though. There's the Corvette is an option, but that's like a $200,000 supercar. That's not an everyman sports car. So I don't know. It's a weird one. It's one of those ones that people speculate on endlessly, but no one really knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's all very American, isn't it?
Mm.
Everything's, you know, the Mustang and the Dodge and all that kind of thing. It's an Americanization of the Australian industry, guys. What's happening?
No, that's fine, because there's a huge following of American muscle car fans in Australia.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's fine, you know?
The Mustang sold out for like a year.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
You know what? If I had the cash, I'd be one of those people standing in line.
I can see you.
I love the Mustang.
Yeah.
It'd have to be a drop top for Dan, though.
Well,
she's got a tan to work on.
I'm not going to deny it. Really. I only drove the coupe in the US, and I think looks wise, I think the coupe's definitely got it. The convertible obviously would be a huge amount of fun. I didn't drive that, so I can't tell you how it drives. You know, often when you chop top of a car, it becomes a little bit flaccid and not so nice. Tim, I like your facial expression.
But you could have used flaccid. So many words.
I know, so many
wobbly,
words.
Scuttly, shaky. But no, flaccid is the word that he went for.
but it's interesting when a car starts as a convertible on the market. For example, the Jaguar F-Type. That, you know, I'm sure that it was all conceived at the same time, but that went to market as a convertible, and a stunning one at that. And then the coupe came, and I think the coupe is the winner out of those two.
Ooh,
but
dear.
I think the TT Roadster is a stunner.
Yes. The very car I was sitting in traffic was a TT.
Yeah.
It's not the convertible, it's not the Roadster. But that, interesting, that's the Roadster version, convertible version, has a huge amount of extra metal put into it to try and stop it becoming flaccid. And, you know if that works for you, if you decide to,
need a stiff car.
You do. You need as good a stiffy as you can. And any way you go about prolonging that stiffness is entirely up to you, and a good thing, in my opinion. This is a car show if you've just tuned in.
I'm very hard right now, guys. I'm kidding. I'm totally joking, guys. It is a car show. But thank you so much for turning up.
Creep.
I love it. I get thanked just for turning up. I wish that was at my place of employment.
Daily. Now, we've got a lot more coming up very, very shortly. Mike is going to detail a very, very important new Benz.
I'm literally going to detail it. I'm going to drive it in here. I'm going to get my chamois out.
He's going to strip down and do the whole show.
I wonder why you're in your bikini today, Mike.
Stop it.
Make sure you stick around. Lots more coming up. My name is Tim. I'm here with Mike and Dan. I'm a little bit husky today, but I'm getting through it.
I heard you talking about that when I tuned in before.
Yeah,
on the road,
you weren't even in the studio.
I agree. I was enjoying it. It was nice for a change to, be on the other end of the speaker.
It is weird when I'm not in the studio, and I do sometimes listen to the show. Obviously, every time that I'm not here, all I do is listen to the show over and over and over again. And you can too if you go to joy.org.au/FenderBender. You can download all of our podcasts and listen to them.
As many times as you like.
Yeah, without.
Even if it starts to get a bit creepy.
Yeah, it's always creepy. Text in 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. If you've got any questions, just want to say hi. Happy to take your questions.
Unless, of course, you're me and then I don't get read out.
Yeah, well, some people don't deserve it, do they? Yeah, basically. Now, guys, we went to, one of us did, went to Switzerland. That's not even an accent, I'm sorry. Switzerland.
I did.
Yeah. How was Switzerland?
Yeah. It was 40 degrees.
That is bananas.
People were swimming in the Rhine.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Isn't that the bit of bacon you cut off?
In Basel. God, we do some stupid things
That's
in this job.
That's pretty ridiculous.
No, I did. I travelled to have a go in a car that is going to be a bit of a seismic shift in Australia's booming SUV market. The most important new model Mercedes has launched in, well, arguably just about ever, long time.
One of the biggest.
Called the GLC. It's a C-Class based SUV, and it gives it a rival for things like the BMW X3 and the Audi Q5, and the Range Rover Evoque if you want to buy an inferior car.
Ooh.
This is one of the fastest growing market segments that there is. People are buying more and more SUVs, and in particular, luxury mid-size ones like this. And for the longest time, Mercedes-Benz has just had to sit there without an offering, watching its rivals rake in all the dough while it hasn't had any kind of competitor because the last version that it had, the GLK, wasn't made in right-hand drive. Mercedes really missed the boat with that one, not noticing how big SUVs were going to be. This time around, finally, it's seen a bit of sense. It's making it in both right and left-hand drive, and it's launching in December. And it is going to set a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons because it's going to do what the C-Class did to the mid-size sedan segment, which is just obliterate anything else. It's going to do the same in the SUV market because it's bloody good.
Is it that good? It's so how many variants did you get to drive?
Well, there's going to be three at launch, two diesels and a petrol, priced from 65 to 70 grand before you're on roads. It's about on par with an X3 or a Q5. It's going to offer more spec than any of them. They're going to be really, really well equipped, which is something Benz is really doing more and more now. The days of the luxury brands from Germany offering no equipment and just relying on badge cachet, it's not really the case anymore. They really do load their cars up.
I think the brand with the four rings on it is a bit slower than some of the others.
Well, Mercedes is in my opinion, the best at offering the most equipment and the fewest options. They tend to be pretty quick on the uptake. Of course, it's different if you go to the dealer and you negotiate a price, you might be able to do better. But right off the bat, Mercedes is pretty on it like that. It's probably the reason why they're the top-selling luxury brand here by quite some margin.
Yeah.
But, you know, it takes all the things that the C-Class does really well, which is the C-Class looks like a little S-Class. It feels like a little S-Class. It feels like a cut above its rivals in terms of luxury, and that's what people want. Well, so does the GLC. It's got this really nice, simple, resolved cabin that just looks $1 million. It's really spacious. It rides beautifully. It's not the most sporty, dynamic car. It's not quite an X3 in those terms. Its engines doesn't have a super powerful diesel like an Audi SQ5 if you were going to find criticisms. But it does the things an SUV should do really well. It's comfortable, it's smooth, it looks luxurious, and it can actually go off-road. I actually had one fitted with this optional, fancy electronic off-road system. We were doing some pretty heavy off-roading, and this thing was handling it much better than I ever would have guessed. It's going to be a smash hit, and it's probably going to be Mercedes-Benz's second top-selling car here when it does arrive.
Because I remember speaking to somebody from Mercedes about this not long ago. I just assumed this car would become their top-selling car. It's an SUV, ladies and gentlemen.
The thing is, though, the C-Class is the second top-selling mid-size car of any sort. It doubles the Mazda 6. It doubles the Liberty. It triples the Ford Mondeo. I mean, only the Camry beats it. And this is a $60,000 to $80,000 luxury car. So that thing is just, it sells in incredible numbers. The GLC will take some sales
away.
Especially because the GLC is actually cheaper than a C-Class wagon, despite being all-wheel drive, having more space, being taller. So the C-Class estate is probably going to suffer a bit, but it's going to take even more sales from the X3 and from the Q5 and from the Evoque and the Discovery Sport and all these other cars. Hell, even people who are looking at a high-end Mazda CX-5 might be tempted to spend an extra 10 grand and get a Benz in the driveway. And, I'm not always the biggest fan of Mercedes product, but in this case, I think this thing is just going to be a complete shift. I really struggle to see anything beating it in the segment until you step up to something like a Porsche Macan. It's harder to get a better SUV for the money, really.
I'm disappointed to hear that the C-Class estate might suffer because I'm a big fan of that car.
Me too.
I think it's just... It's got beautiful hips.
But let's not beat around the bush. The GLC comes from the same factory in Germany. It's got more cargo space or as much cargo space. It's all-wheel drive. It's taller. It's got as much or more equipment, and it's cheaper. So the C-Class wagon is a bit of a rip-off if you look at it that way.
But really, then a lot of people don't want that high ride. I think, I think some people see that high ride as quite overrated. And, I personally do. I don't get it myself. I do get it, but I don't care for it. And I will not hear wagons besmirched by you, Mike.
I think the only people that like wagons are motoring journalists, and that's why nobody sells any.
Motoring journalists or hipsters.
Because, everybody wants SUVs, and that's why Mercedes already dominates luxury sales. When this thing launches, it's going to dominate even more. I'm sorry to BMW and Audi, because the X3 and Q5 are both nice cars, and there's nothing wrong with them, but the GLC is a significant step forward, and the gauntlet has very much been laid down.
As we've said so many times on Fender before, people don't need SUVs. They don't. But what they like is the promise. They like the potential to use one. And they know that if it's sat out there on the driveway with a little bit extra ride height and four-wheel drive, they could drive straight across Australia, you know, and end up in Broome, you know.
And you're absolutely right. And the
GLC, but they never do.
But the GLC, and one of the things it does so well, you have to option this special package, but it's this really clever system that jacks up the suspension, changes the distribution of torque, it does all these fancy things. And in practicality, it means that the off-road course that I was doing, you know, I would normally want to throw a Wrangler or something at.
Mm.
But the GLC just ate it up. Obviously, because Mercedes are the ones that came up with the course, it's going to play to that car's strengths.
Yeah.
Let's not be deluded about it. But,
yeah,
you know, we're talking extreme, you know, extreme side camber, extreme hill climbs on slippery surfaces, big ruts and divots to test your articulation, all sorts of things that really put a car to the test. And it just breezed through it. And
it can take it.
And that adventure is exactly what they're selling, but at least this car can back it up.
Yeah.
At least it can back it up.
I did exactly the same thing in the GLE when I did the international launch of that. They put the off-road kit on that. It was an extra 10 grand or something. They put the knobbly tyres on it, and they had a purpose-built off-road track. And again, it was very impressive. And a lot of the time people underestimate SUVs. They can actually a lot of the time, if you have a little bit extra ground clearance and a decent tyre, isn't a pure road tyre, they actually do all right. But is anyone going to do that?
Well, this thing actually had road tyres on it, but yes, you're right. No one's going to spend the extra money. You did the same in a BMW X3 too at one stage there, didn't you?
No. No, that's not quite right.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not. I chose... Do you want to do this? Do you actually want to do
this? I don't really remember what happened. I don't really remember the story.
I think there's a beach involved.
Yes, oh. Yes. I decided, in my wisdom, to test the off-road ability of a BMW X3 that hadn't been prepared for off-road use, had standard tyres on, and I decided to test it on possibly the most grueling of all off-road surfaces, a beach, with an incoming tide... in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm sure the GLC would have been just as... It would have probably got caught out too. Let's be honest. The GLC doesn't have a monopoly on being good off-road. I think you raise a good point when you say that these soft roaders, as we call them, are actually pretty capable if you equip them properly.
And there's you know, that market's opening up hugely. And something like the Land Rover Discovery Sport, for example, I think that sits in that category or around about that category. I think people automatically think when they hear that brand, oh, well, that will just have off-road capability. So I think that has an advantage.
And it also has the option of 7 seats, which the GLC does not have and which does give it a disadvantage against the Land Rover.
But doesn't that also push customers then into the GLE?
And that's... is the GLE a 7-seater? Does it have the option of 7 seats? I think you have to go to the GLK to get 7 seats.
The GL.
Or the GL, sorry. The GL to get 7 seats.
Oh, okay.
Which will soon be called the GLS. Because Mercedes likes to confuse us with names.
On the GLC, though, just really quickly, now, are we getting a super hot version?
That's exactly what I was about to
say. There will be, yes. There'll be two. There'll be the 450 AMG, which will be the supercharged six. The six is a supercharged
V6 turbo.
V6 turbo.
Same thing that's in the E400.
God, I need to do my research. And there'll be a proper full fat 63 AMG,
which is the 4-liter V8 twin turbo.
Yes, exactly right. That will probably not arrive until the beginning of 2017. However, it's some time away, but it will happen.
Mm. And PHEV, a plug-in hybrid,
left-hand drive only for now.
Oh, boo, hiss.
Yeah.
Why exactly? Why?
And that is probably a good point, is the fact that Mercedes sells a ridiculous number of AMGs here, and people who buy Benzes tend to buy really performance-oriented ones.
Mm.
The 250 diesel, 250 petrol and 220 diesel, which are the three launch cars, none of them are very fast. Mm. If you're attracted to, say, an Audi SQ5 or a BMW X3 30D, they are going to just destroy a GLC in terms of outright performance.
Yeah.
That's probably the one area where the GLC lags. But in time, Mercedes is going to roll out performance versions and the 63 AMG should be a pretty cool thing.
On that, Audi Q5 can't be far off, a new one, because that thing's been around
7
a while.
7 years old now. It cannot be far away.
But it sounds like hotcakes still.
It's still a top seller, and the GLC will overtake it. I have no doubts about it. But the Q5 is well-priced. It's good value. The new A4 is about to launch, and you would suspect that the modular platform that underpins that and a lot of other cars will spawn a Q5 in time. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that either late this year or early next. I don't really know. But it can't be far away.
I'm sorry, I nodded off when you said A4.
Yeah.
That design is so dull.
Come on.
Audi's kind of gone beyond the pale with that, hasn't it? The Q7's another case in point. These cars that look okay, but they just... Mercedes has shown that you have to make your car look sensational to really get the buyers, and Audi doesn't seem to be doing that.
And hang on, can we just go back to the Camry again?
Yeah.
Well, you're saying you have to make cars look good for people to buy them.
No, be premium, sure.
The top-selling car is what?
Premium, the Camry sells to taxis and fleets. I mean, we're talking people who actually shell their own money out to buy a status symbol. If you're going to spend 60K on a luxury car, you want it to look the part.
You want it a bit sexy. And I think the design is fine. It's just a little Dullsville. But my understanding is that the new head designer for Audi...
Mark Lichter.
Yes. He had nothing to do with this next wave of...
And the first thing he's doing is the new A8, which will premiere soon.
Yes.
And that is his first big project. And everything else will stem from that.
Exactly. So that's going to have a bit more of a seismic shift on their design than what they're doing at the moment. So let's just see what Audi do, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, we're going to have a break. We're going to have a small break.
All right, okay.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to be back very shortly, though.
Okay, I'll be sitting in some traffic.
The lovely Dean Beck, who is well known to Joy listeners, has asked whether there will be 10 more minutes of Fender Bender because Dan missed the first part of it.
Hang on, I don't know if this is a positive request or it's like, you know, everyone gets kept behind after class.
It's like a punishment. Oh, is God. That, like, 10 good? More minutes of Dan.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
won't it just be Dan breathing into the microphone for 10 minutes like he did when he came in?
That's just 10 minutes of that.
Well, look, I mean, we do requests here, so, you know, if that's what people want to listen to.
Some people could want to listen to that. That's the thing. We probably won't be doing that because lovely people from TechnoGaze will be up to talk about a bit of automotive tech. So if you're into that, you should definitely stick around. But we've got a little bit more coming up before that happens. So stick around. Ooh, yeah. Bit of Janet Jackson. A bit of Janet Jackson. I'm not feeling the love from somebody in the room, though.
Thank you for playing that song. No, the thing with that song is it's going to be in my head for the next week. Yeah. I'm just going to be incessantly singing it to myself. It's going to drive me insane.
Is it the... Oh, the girls at the party, look at that party. That bit or the chorus? All of it.
Maybe just a whole lot, I think.
Mike is not having that.
He is not. Anyway. No.
I think you're overestimated. It's just catchy.
It is very catchy. It's one of those ones you cannot get out of your head. And you know what? God bless Janet Jackson. Now, ladies and gentlemen, so I had an interesting weekend last week.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Is this one of your typical...
Is this radio appropriate?
It is. Look, it is radio appropriate. No, it's very family friendly.
Not interested. I
know. Pretty dull.
Boring.
No, I did. I went down to my... I mean, listeners will probably find this shocking because they probably think I'm like 21. But I actually had my 20-year high school reunion last week.
Did you graduate high school when you were 7?
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. No, look, I am 37. And I graduated high school in 1995 from Monavay College in Hamilton, Western Victoria. And we had our high school reunion down there and I was a bit reluctant to go, but I thought, you know what, I'll do it. And you know what? We're in an industry where we're lucky enough to test drive cars that we obviously write about. So I thought, well, I'll get something a little bit nice to drive down in. But I'd also forgotten when it was. So I then forgot to actually book a really, really, really crazy car. And on our press fleet that week, we had the option of a Kia Sorento, which is a great car, but it's a little bit...
Soccer mum.
Exactly. We also had a Holden Cascada convertible.
Oh, that's so you. Should have taken that.
I'd already come out of the closet a long time ago, and I feel like doing that twice by turning up in a convertible was inappropriate. So I went with the third option, which was a BMW 328i.
In a very nice colour as well.
That stunning BMW blue. I don't know what the name is. I'm sure there's some wanky name for it. Anyway, I thought that was more than enough to... look, we've all seen Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, right?
So Did you invent posters?
I didn't. Okay. I did not. Or the quick draw cigarettes. But, you know, I'm really happy where I am in life. But it made me kind of think, oh, gee.
You want to show the very best side of yourself at these things, don't you? Especially if you didn't have an amazing time at high school. Yep. I didn't. I don't know about you guys, but there is that mentality of going back and saying, ha, in your faces, I made it.
A little bit.
You know, like,
Look, it's totally. Human. And that's why, you know, my personal trainer didn't manage to make me super buff or slim by the time we went to the thing. But at least I looked good. I had a new outfit and I did look better than all the others. other dude's there. I'm just going to say it. If I do say so myself,
I would be Joy would be very disappointed with you if you couldn't say that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, this
come
is
on.
The thing. But the BMW was gorgeous and it was a bit of a standout, or so I thought. I got there. I got to Hamilton, and I parked in the main street to make it like, really obvious. I know. And then I actually bumped into an old friend of mine, Mel, and chatting to her and da-da-da, and I was standing next to the car, kind of like, yeah, I came down in that, and she goes, oh yeah, I've got that, and pointed to her brand new BMW X5. And then somebody else pulled up in a brand new Discovery.
Oh.
And it was just one of these things that
they
everyone,
saw your hand and raised it, didn't they?
They did. They did. Like, and no one gave a flying F. And it got me really thinking, and I really sounded like Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City when I got to thinking. It's premium cars, European cars are everywhere now. As you said before, Mike, C-Class is one of the biggest selling cars in the country, for goodness sakes. Are these cars even special anymore?
It's a really good point you make.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, when they become, you know, de rigueur, they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
They lose their luster by default. Things are only valuable when they're rare. If the entire world was made of diamonds, diamonds wouldn't be worth a damn thing. So.
Yeah, but they would still be fabulous.
I only went polished.
But it's a really good point. And I kind of think, and when I was growing up in that town, it's a town of 10,000 people, you would see a BMW down the street and you'd be like, oh, wow.
Who's that?
Right.
Yeah.
Captain Moneybags over here.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Even you'd probably say that to somebody driving down in a Holden Statesman, though, as well. Like, you'd be like, oh, they're one of the rich farmers. Yeah, they've got a Statesman. Not just
good yield this year.
Yeah. Totally.
The various manufacturers have to be very careful what they're doing with their brands, because look at the top end where Ferrari knows how many it can sell every year and then makes a lot less than that because they are maintaining the exclusivity. It's a very difficult balancing act, though. You don't want to make the waiting list so long that people just turn around and go, well, I'm going elsewhere then, because I really don't want to wait 3 years for my Ferrari. But they do make a limited number because they know that exclusivity sells. Look at the other end of the spectrum. We've got Volkswagen, who now sell a Golf for $22,000. Well, I mean, if you want a little bit of prestige, which it still holds on to, that's still a very nice German brand and is known for it, you can have one for the same money as, you know, some other not so reputable brands value. And so they're in danger. If they stick around in that sort of price point for too long, people will say, oh, well, VW's just another one of those budget brands, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you have to be really careful. And, you know, you use BMW as the example. Mm. You know, you can get into a 1 Series for pretty affordable money these days, and that's your BMW badge. It's on all their range. It doesn't matter whether it's a 7 Series or a 1 Series. It's the same badge.
Yeah. So I think luxury's moved on, hasn't it?
It really has.
It's
a really interesting point. And I think when you show up to anything in your mid-30s, and we're not talking as if, you know, you're at retirement age.
I mean, you're still
young in the grand scheme.
Thank you.
And
Mike,
you're in an expensive BMW and it doesn't stand out at all.
Yeah.
That tells you something.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're going to your reunion in Toorak.
No.
You're not going. It's not like you are from a millionaire household where everybody has squillions of dollars.
Yeah.
You're going back to your country town with working class roots and a BMW doesn't stand out? Are you crazy?
I know.
That makes no sense. It's ludicrous.
It's bonkers.
I have the solution to it.
Mm.
You know, Tim, even if it had been that Ferrari F12 that you took, you know, even if it had been a Lamborghini Aventador, it's still not your car, is it?
Well, and that's the thing. And look, I was upfront about that with everyone. I wasn't like announcing that it was mine. Not that anyone really asked. So they probably just assumed.
So,
but I did tell, you know, they know what
very,
I do.
That's very good of you. But what you should have done, if you're really being unpretentious, is you should have driven in your own car.
The 2004 Forester.
Yes.
With a lot of dints on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, everyone
would have
gone, oh, Tim, you are a lesbian. You know, they would have really loved you for that.
Oh,
and that would have been, you know, they would have got that.
That's true.
You could have put some rubbish in the back, you know. It's my car, I don't care.
Yeah, a bit of McDonald's.
It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate in
that's true.
In cool,
that's
you know.
True. But look, it was just an interesting kind of social thing to notice. And it's Hamilton's. Is Hamilton fancy or is just everyone, you know, up with all the luxury?
You know, an alternative.
What?
Skoda sells a tenth of the car that Mercedes-Benz sells.
Exclusivity.
If exclusivity means luxury, go and buy a Skoda.
Yeah, true.
Or a Peugeot or a Renault.
Or a Cherry.
Or a Cherry.
Okay, don't do that.
Okay,
no.
I'd recommend three of those.
Yeah. That's true.
If rareness is what you know, defines luxury and premium, go and buy a rare car.
Yeah, a good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for indulging me, guys. And on that note, it's time for us to get the hell out of here because the fabulous guys from Techno Gaze are coming up. They're going to talk about cars as well as everything else, and they've got heaps to get through, so we will move on. Mike and Dan, thank you so much, boys.
Thank you, and apologies again for only doing a bit of the show this week.
No worries.
I will be back with a vengeance next week.
You will. Enjoy that. My name's Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.